Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation. On the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name. The echo is haunting. The echo is always the same. I call your name. The echo is haunting. An echo can never be changed. So I call your name.
Welcome to Signs of Life Radio. I'm Kimberly Saavedra, Director of the Comlock Center in Claremont, California, and it is my pleasure to co-host tonight's show with Janet Mayer, a Forever Family Certified Medium and author of Spirits, They Are Present, and Dr. Betty J. Kovaj, author of The Miracle of Death, There Is Nothing But Life, and her newest book, Merchants of Light, The Consciousness That Is Changing the World. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Janet.
I think you have some stories to tell us tonight, right?
Oh, sure. I always have stories.
Well, that's what we want to hear.
Yes. Well, and, you know, just to start off, too, I wanted to say that, you know, I know, you know, every month that I'm sharing different stories and talking about, you know, what has touched my life. But the whole purpose is not only so that, you know, the listeners can call in and share their stories and feel comfortable about doing that, but also to let other people know that, you know, there's so much more that's going out in our world that we really don't pay attention to. And if anything else, if we can bring a little more awareness to them and that they can, you know, open their eyes or open their heart and listen, that maybe once in a while they may get a sign and they can accept it and, you know, say, you know what, I know I got that. I know I got something. I know that. And just remember to say thank you, because when you say thank you to the other side, it's like they hear you and they know and they're like, I can send more signs, you know. And so, you know, I just wanted to start that off because I thought that was a really important thing I wanted to bring up tonight.
That is important. And, Kim, maybe you would give the telephone number just so they have it while you're talking.
Right. The toll-free line is 888-627-6008. Again, it's 888-627-6008 to call in and share your stories with us.
Yes, and we certainly need to pay attention to our own stories, but also we need and want to hear other people's stories because it's confirming our own experience.
Exactly.
Hey, Janet, let's hear yours.
Okay, well, you know, I was thinking about it. I thought, you know, what story do I want to share? And, you know, a couple of stories, of course, I've taken out of my book, but it's a fun memory for me, and it's also kind of reminds me, it kind of brings me back and makes me remember something that's really important. And when my son was born, and he was, you know, I was a new mom, and, you know, you think you know it all, but you really don't know anything. And you kind of just kind of go along with it, and you do the best you can. And I think there was one day I was so tired, and I felt like I didn't know what to do anymore, and my son was colicky, and I kept trying new things and, you know, trying to, you know, calm him down and get him, you know, make him feel better throughout the day. And it was just one of those really rough days. And I went to put him down to sleep at night, and, you know, that was back in the day in the 90s where you put him on their belly, and, you know, nowadays I think they have him on their back, but he would be on his stomach, and I would, every single night, I would scratch his back, and I would sing to him, and I just got in the habit of doing that. And I think because it was just, I wanted to have that, you know, create that little mini ritual with him that I would sing these songs to him every night. And one evening, I was scratching his back, and I'm leaning over the crib, and I'm so tired, and I'm just worn out, and I'm scratching his back really slowly, and I'm singing. And I finished, and I just kept scratching his back, and I kind of got to the point where, you know, you're just kind of like half doing it, and he's almost asleep. And I just said, you know, Matt, I really wish someone would scratch my back too. And with that, someone did.
Oh, my God. Janet, you have the most incredible stories.
Somebody,
I love it.
Well, baby, someone came up, and I think it was a woman, she scratched my back, and I literally about flew out of the room. I think I didn't even touch the floor. I just jumped up and flew. And the next thing I know, I'm by the door, and I'm looking, and I'm, like, breathing heavy. And I don't know if I made a sound, but my son was sleeping, and I was shaking, and I'm walking around going, okay, I didn't mean it. I didn't mean it like this. You know, and I thought, you know, it takes it to a new level of be careful what you ask for.
My God, so it's true. I love your stories because so often they are manifested in the physical world.
And here's the funny part is, you know, I called myself the chicken medium because I still jump. There's times that something happens, I still jump. And even back then, it kind of reminded me of, you know, when you're really down, you're really feeling worn out, you're tired, you're still doing something from your heart, you know. I think that it's kind of like the other side. They're noticing it, and they're saying, you know, what can we do for them? Or is there something that I see, you know, that I can place in front of them or on, you know, the screen or, in on the phone or anything? And I think sometimes it's just a really, really good reminder to say, hey, you know, we need to remember to pay attention to what's going on around us. And I think that after that happened, I just remember after that I'm like, okay, don't ask for that. Don't be really careful what you ask for.
Well, that's important. But, you know, I think, and of course this has been what I've been saying for so many years and in teaching and trying to struggle with it myself, is that we were born into a culture that had totally dismissed spirit. There was nothing but matter. And so we didn't pay attention. And when things happened, we ignored it or it was a coincidence or whatever. And one time I had a powerful vision that I didn't know what to do with. And that night I had, actually it was a dream. It wasn't a vision. I dreamed I was in Budapest and I had a sieve and there were a lot of little petals on the sieve and I was kind of shaking it. And suddenly a detached hand came across and raked those pebbles off and said, these do not belong in the city. And so then in the next scene, I'm with several people, many people, and we're in a circle, and we are in a deep meditative attitude, and we are walking around the circle contemplating and meditating, and it was the most incredible, beautiful feeling within me, and I realized that when I looked, I saw that the pebbles had become the sacred standing stones of antiquity. And we were not in the city. We were out in the country where the sacred stones do exist. And because we were in a meditative attitude and we were open and we were respectful of that sacredness, they revealed, these pebbles revealed what they were, who they were. And I was so grateful for that dream because it was telling me to trust what I was experiencing. They are pebbles in the mind of the rational thinker, but they are not pebbles when we meditate and are open and treat them in a sacred manner. So I've kept that dream with me because I felt it was very, very valuable, not only for me, but for our time.
Well, yeah, and the thing is, to me, as you're telling the story, you can feel the power behind it. You know, it's not just a story. It holds so much energy in it. And as you're talking, it's like pulling me in. And I'm thinking, wow, it's like you can put yourself in there. But you actually were experiencing that. And it shows you how powerful something like that can be. You know, and I mean, that's amazing because we, you know, like you said, we weren't raised to believe that any of this can happen, that it could be this open, you know. I mean, it's just for our minds, we had to experience it and to have that power and that energy behind it. And how many people out there right now who are listening have had something like that? And either they can't name it, they can't put something on it to explain it, but they know they experienced it, and they know they felt it, and they know that, you know, it grabbed them, and it's like it's a part of their life now, but what do they do with it? You know, and it's like, I think it's a good way for other people, too, to start sharing their stories. And you know, even if, you know, with someone that they trust or someone comfortable, and, you know, if somebody doesn't quite understand it, you can just be like, that's okay. You know, did you ever have something that felt powerful to you? Did you have a story that just pulled at you that, you know, you don't understand, or you do understand, or you know it was kind of mystical and beyond the realm, and you're thinking, how does that fit in our world? But it actually is part of our world. You know what I mean?
It definitely is, but we've been told that it's not a part of our world, not belonging in the city, in the rational mind, in the university. And I went to the university to try to discover answers to all of the inner questions I had. And instead, I only received rational answers. And I think that's true of most of us. I had many, many students who would say, after a mythology class in which we looked at symbols all evening, and of course, we know that our first language is symbolic language. That is the language of soul, of spirit. They speak to us in symbols. And but they would then feel that they could say something to me, and I've mentioned this before, I'm sure, on this show too, is that they would come to me, to my office afterwards and say, I have never told anyone this in my life. And then they'll tell it. And it's been such an important part of their life, but they didn't know what to do with it.
Right, right. And that's true. And like you said, it's, you know, we speak in symbols, and spirit comes to us in symbols. And you know, sometimes people think, oh, well, you know, it's like they're calling us on the phone and they're going to have a whole big conversation. And it's like, it doesn't really work like that. I wish it did. It would make, you know, a medium's job a lot easier. But the thing is it's like they come to us in a certain way that we have to be open to pay attention to it. And we have to be open to wanting that experience. You know, I mean, I think, like, you know, you said when we were, you know, younger and we were taught a certain thing, and like you were even taught, you know, the symbols and mysticism. And the thing is I think for you too, and maybe I could be wrong, but I think it's opened you so much because you see so much more now because of that. And if only other people could see that, you know what I mean?
Well, it's incredible because the inner experience, I can remember teaching many rituals and myths and sacred practices of our ancestors. And when I actually started having the experiences, At first I didn't even recognize that it was the same thing because the experience was so different from just the intellectual knowledge. So yes, it is our heritage to experience on that level and to be able then to think it through on the intellectual level. They both need to work together, but Western culture has completely cut off the symbolic, mythic, visionary level, and it's left us destitute and ill and indifferent and violent and all of the horrible things that are happening in our world. Whereas if we had an educational system that knew how to work with the whole mind, because all of these are components of the brain. Education needs to be an opening up, not just of the intellectual, but of the symbolic, the visionary, the intuitive brain component. And we will have a very different world if we understand that and learn carefully how to do it.
Right, right. Oh, I agree. And I think that would be something. It would be a wonderful thing in the future if we would be able to teach our children that.
And to, yes, you know, we need to know what we're doing, of
right,
course.
And right. And I mean, well, and I think, like, in my sense, I was fortunate, you know, my son always says, well, you know, I just thought this was the way everything was, is what, you know, happened around you. He said, so I was lucky in that sense that I got to experience it. Just assuming that, you know, he said, even though he knew there were other people that didn't have this, he also said in the same sense, it was just part of his childhood. So it was part of his life. And unlike, you know, a lot of other people out there, they didn't have that experience. And then I think, well, gosh, I hope that was okay, and I hope it was good. But,
no, you know, bring up something really important, because the best way of teaching our children is that they experience it when they're growing up. Once we learn these things, then our teaching will actually be the children living with us and experiencing these things as they grow up. That would
right.
be the ideal thing, you know, that this is the way life is.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, and that's, you know, and actually I should probably share the story. I'm sure, you know, my son's going to be like, oh, Mom, I can't believe you're going to share the story. But, you know, it's kind of one of those funny things where, you know, he was working one evening and he was going to go to, he called and he's like, hey, is it okay if I go spend the night at a friend's house? And I'm like, sure, go for it, you know. And I hung up the phone and all of a sudden I had this weird wave come over me and I'm like, Something's weird. I feel a policeman. I see a policeman. And I stopped and I'm like, oh my gosh, should I call him right away? And I sat there and I just meditated and I thought, instead of freaking out right away, I'm just gonna sit there and go, okay, what do I need to do with this? And I felt like I heard in my head, it's okay. And I'm like, all right, I'm not really sure. Maybe it's gonna be around his work or something. I thought, I don't wanna call and freak him out or anything, so I'm just gonna let it go. And I'm like, okay, and you know, I was gonna go to bed shortly after that, and all of a sudden I stopped and I felt it again. I'm like, I feel another policeman, and I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, something seems weird. And I'm like, but I feel okay about it. And I kept thinking, do I call? Do I not call? And I'm like, no, I'm not going to be one of those people that just because I think I got something, I'm going to call them right away. I'm like, no, I feel okay with it. I think it's okay. And so, you know, I went to bed and I felt okay. And I thought, all right. And, you know, the next morning I wake up and my son spends the night at his friend's house and he gets home and he, hi, Mom, you know, give him a hug, everything. He goes in his room and all that. And I walk in there and I go, so I have a question for you. And he goes, yeah. And I said, what's the story with the policeman? And he stops and he turns around. He goes,
oh, what kind of mother do I have?
He goes, I hate when you do that. I hate when you do that. And I go, well, explain. And he goes, okay. And he goes, well, we were going home and his friend got pulled over because he was speeding. I'm like, okay. I go, well, and I thought in my head, okay, well, then he learned his lesson, right? That's the policeman. And I start to walk out of the room, and I turn around, and I walk back, and I go, well, wait a minute. And he goes, what? I go, what about the second policeman? And he goes, oh, my gosh. He goes, I can't believe you just said that. I go, why? He goes, he got stopped a second time for speeding. And I go, well, I hope he learned his lesson. And he goes, yeah, he did. And I go, and you learned yours, too. Don't speed. And he's like, I won't. But, I mean, it's just stories like that that if you just pay attention and you just notice.
I mean, your son knew he had to be very careful yeah. when he went out because you'd know what had happened while he was out.
Like yeah, the high is he didn't know that would happen all the time.
Oh, we need that kind of radar.
Yeah. But the thing is, I mean, that's just like one little story of, you know, focusing in. And I mean, I really believe that we all have this innate sense of being connected to each other. And, you know, you can feel what someone else is going through, or you can, you know, you can send out, you know, a vibe. And I'm not saying that you can stop it. It's, you know, there's things that are not of our control. I totally understand that. I get that. But I also feel like that it's really important for people to understand that, you know, sometimes when you're paying attention and you have a sense about something, or you dream about something. How many people have had a dream, and the next day they're like, oh, my gosh, I dreamt this, blah, 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 and I can't believe that happened. Oh, isn't that fun? And I'm like, okay, what does that tell you? That's telling you right away. Yeah, there's no coincidence. It's to pay attention, you know?
And I think that, you know, the small things are so important. I mean, they're not always small, but, I mean, knowing about the policeman, that's kind of important. But I think that once we are able to have the sensitivity that we can open up to larger and larger dimensions of our lives and of our children's lives, too. After my son's death, we were going to go. He had said to his girlfriend before he died, you know, the really neat thing would be that if one of us died, we should have our ashes taken to sacred places. And so she told me that while he was dying, and I said, well, when then we'll do that. And Mount Shasta was one of the places we wanted to go. So before we went, I had a dream, and I saw Mount Shasta, and I saw exactly the place. And in the north, it was a little higher. The landscape was higher. But at any rate, we just went. We'd never been to Mount Shasta. We didn't know anything about it. And on the way up on the mountain, we stopped at a little store that sold sacred pipes and shamanic objects. And so we were talking with the woman, and she said, oh, what do you have planned? And we said, oh, we're just going to go to Mount Shasta. And she said, oh, well, be sure you go to Panther Meadows. That is a sacred place, very sacred to the indigenous people. Now, I stop here for a moment and say that the panther was my son's sacred animal. He was so connected to the panther that he had it tattooed on his left wrist, a beautiful picture of it.
Wow.
And we just looked at each other. We didn't say a thing. So she gave us the directions, you go there. So we went there, and we were looking for the right spot to have the four corners, a sacred circle, and smoke the sacred pipe and meditate. And I thought I'd found one. And his girlfriend said, you know, Betty, come over here. I think this one is the right one. And when I looked at it, it was exactly like the one in my dream.
Wow.
And to the north, it was higher. And I was just so amazed, since I hadn't chosen it either. She had. So we did the sacred circle there. And in the dream that I had had, he was at the north, so we had him at the north, and then we were at the other stations, and he had said in the dream, matter and spirit are one. And so my husband took his place and went around to each of us during the meditation to say, matter and spirit are one. And so it was just such a sacred experience, because not only was there a Panther Meadows, but his girlfriend found the place in the dream the night before.
Wow.
And we repeated the message from him.
And that's amazing. And, you know, and that woman that told you about it, I mean, it's like everybody was put in a certain position and a certain place to make it all happen and come together as one. And, you know, and what your story shows is it's a perfect, you know, unity of everyone coming together for that. And then you got to experience, you know, a very sacred and, you know, heart moment.
Yes, yes, we definitely felt he was there, like he had walked out of the north to that spot, and he was, and it was intended. I mean, he was there. So all of those experiences have certainly opened me up to even the larger dimensions of spirit, of all of the things. I mean, they're in every cell, you know, everything we do.
Right, right. And the thing is, and you know, and you brought up a really good point, too, with when you were explaining that story is, I like how, you know, everybody played a part in that, you know, with your dream, with this girlfriend, with this, you know, your husband, with this woman, how everybody had a piece and nobody really came out and said, oh, I need to, you know, this is where, you know, this needs to be, this is where this needs to be. It's like this invisible pieces of a puzzle. And I think that's kind of how life is very often is, you know, we're all part of this. And when we're paying attention, we're, you know, we're listening to what is going on in our life, it interconnects with someone else in a really beautiful way that brings us to another step. And sure, maybe we can take a lot of different roads. There's, you know, no one road. But the thing is that it takes us somewhere that, you know, we get to experience something, either something very, you know, heartwarming or something beautiful or a lesson or whatever it may be. And I think that that's a really big part, too, when people are trying to open and people are trying to become more aware. And I think, like, really every listener out there probably has a story. And I think that everyone, not only do they have a story, is some want to share it. Some think, oh, well, I don't know if I should share that or not, or I don't know if it's good enough. But I think when something is resonating with you and you have a story and you remember that and it really means something to you, I think that is a good story to share. I think that's something that people, you know, I want to make people more aware of. And I think that's one good reason why with doing, you know, doing this every month is it's showing people that, you know, you all have a story, you all have a place, and you all have loved ones on the other side that, you know, they are connecting to you. And it may be something simple. I mean, you know, sometimes people are saying, oh, well, you know, I feel like I got something on my phone. And I'm like, well, that's wonderful. You know, that's great. And, you know, you just, it can come in all different ways. I mean, you know, I have the story, too, that it's really strange. Is I have a habit of turning on the TV and then muting it. I don't know why I do that, but it's like I hear talking in the background. I just mute it. And I was in my office, and I muted something, and I wasn't even facing the TV. It was, you know, on the side. And I decided I was going to work on a reading, never even remembering I had the, you know, TV on, just started opening my file and started writing down what I was getting for, you know, this reading. And I just happened to stop, and I thought, okay, I think I'm good for now because I'll work on it different days. And I thought, oh, I think I'm pretty good right now. And with that, I turned to my left, and there was the TV. And the TV had froze, and it had, the screen froze, and on the screen it said "Women in Spirit," and that was what Women in Spirit, and it was actually an ad for like a hospital from years ago, and I just sat there and stared at it, and I was just like, "Well, I'll be darned, it is Women in Spirit. That's right." And
wow,
I thought, you know, and
amazing.
I was kind of like. And it really, and the thing is it really did not necessarily tell me anything. I mean, it actually validated something about the reading, but it didn't really come out and, like, you know, punch me in the face. But most people would be like, oh, the screen froze, I'll turn it off, you know, blah, blah, blah. But what I did is I just sat there and I thought, wow, I'm like, this is a great reminder, a great, great reminder to me and really to share with other people that sometimes something's right there. And it's not doing anything, but it's right there. And if we just open our eyes, we can, you know, get some kind of little message from it. And I mean, it was actually a pretty good message for me, but it was kind of funny because I thought, I don't normally, my TV doesn't normally freeze. It doesn't, you know, TVs just don't freeze, but it froze. No. And I thought, how crazy is that, you know? And so I think that sometimes it's really interesting how, you know, we can be doing basically, you know, our everyday life, living our everyday life. And especially now, you know, our life is, everybody's life has kind of been turned upside down and sideways. And, you know, people are trying to figure out the new life and where they're going and what they're doing. And I think sometimes maybe we can get a lot of information from spirit in that way. And, our, you know, from yourself is just to sit. And, you know, I don't want to necessarily say you have to sit and meditate, because some people right away want to throw that out the window, like, I don't know how to do that, I can't do that. And it's like, no, just maybe sit, you know, in a quiet space and just ask. And, you know, you can always say something like, you know, am I on the right path? Or can you give me a sign? Or, you know, help me pay attention to see what's going on around me. And I think that would be a really good way for people now who are experiencing so much upheaval to just stop and take a break and sit down, and, you know, and if you need to cry, then cry. If you just need to shake your head and be like, oh my God, the world is going crazy, what do I do? Then just think that, and then let go of those thoughts and say, okay, what do I need to experience here? What can I do? And you know, a lot of times I suggest to people to, you know, if you don't want to start a journal, then just sit down and write, you know, and write down what you want to say, and write down anything that's coming to you, because sometimes in your writing, you'll find something in those words that you're like, wow, wait a minute, where did that come from? You know,
exactly, yeah. We used to always teach in writing classes is that you really can come to understand something when you start writing it. You'll see things you never thought were there.
Right, right, and that's true. And that's. I think that if, you know, more people start taking a little time for themselves to do that. And I know that, you know, there's a lot of chaos going on out there and a lot of emotion and a lot of sides and everything, anybody, you know, you want to think or whatever you want to think. But the thing is if you take time, just personal time, and say, you know what, I'm in this space right now, you know, I'm in my home, I'm in my apartment, I'm in my car, I'm in, you know, the woods, wherever, and just say, I want to take time for me and I want to start experiencing something. You know, what, you know, how can I do that? Where can I go? What steps can I take? And there's so much out there nowadays. There's so many books. Betty has a great book. There's so many.
there's so many wonderful ways
that you can, you know, oh, thanks. But there's so many wonderful ways that, you know, people can experience, whether, you know, they read something, they, you know, there's all these online Zoom things you can join now, and you can just sit and listen from the comfort of your own house. And I think it just to help open people up a little more and make them kind of more in tune with their loved ones on the other side.
And I think it's very important for us to remember, beyond our own culture, obviously, that, in fact, we do have a purpose. The universe has a purpose. And the earth has a purpose. And we are co-creating with the earth and with the universe to bring about this purpose. So it's so important for us to have time to allow that purpose to reveal itself. Sometimes I have felt, just be patient, you know, learn patience, be patient. But I think that we've been taught for so long, hundreds of years, that there's no meaning and no purpose. We're a fluke of nature. And we now know through quantum physics that this is not true at all. We have a purpose, and we are working together. And I think also something we've forgotten and have had taught out of us is that we are co-creators. We are co-creators with the universe. We are needed to create so that we can create out of a situation that looks very bad indeed. We can create something unanticipated that we can't even imagine.
That's true. That was beautifully said, Betty, and that's very true. I totally agree with that. Totally agree. And I think that, you know, through that, I think that we all have personal, sacred experiences. And I think that as we co-create and we're like mingling with each other, it kind of creates a wave. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does. And, yes.
Oh, go on. I didn't know if you were going to say something. I was going to jump in. But I mean, you know, and the thing is with that is, you know, I don't know. I just, when I think about that, I just really think that it's a really cool feature to humans that we forget. And I think that this is a good way to remind people, especially, you know, just tonight and with the way the world is going, is that we do have that power within ourselves to co-create.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that ritual and days of ritual, as I think our ancestors had in nature, are exactly that, to remind us, to keep us in touch with that feeling, our oneness with nature and with the universe. So, you know, we, in our culture, it was like, oh, those are empty, crazy, you know, rituals. But if they're done with intent, loving intent, and a sense of the sacred, they are powerful, but they do keep us in touch, because when we move the body and do make certain gestures that are sacred, then we feel it. You know, it's like dance.
Right.
If you dance, you have a totally different feeling from what you had when you were standing still.
Right, right. Well, and, you know, that kind of reminds me of something, and, you know, I know I'm sharing a lot of stories here, but it was really interesting when I was working with Ipu Piara, who was helping me with my, you know, translating my languages, and you were talking about rituals. And I told him, I said, you know, I'm not really sure what to do. And he goes, well, I'm going to tell you what to do, and I'm not telling anybody else, and you have to do this. And I remember thinking, oh, here we go. Okay, you know, what is this, you know, ritual? And it wasn't that, you know, I'm kind of one of these, I have to say, I can be very, very skeptical. I'm a very, for being, you know, a medium, I'm super skeptical in a lot of ways about a lot of things. And when he was bringing up something, he's like, well, I'm going to have you do the ritual. And I'm like, okay, I'll do it. I'm thinking, you know what, I'll do it. I'll just, okay. And so he told me what to do, which I cannot share, because he told me I cannot share it. So it was a certain ritual. And I remember thinking, nothing's going to happen, but okay, I'm going to do it anyway, because he really said that this is going to work. And I'm like, okay. And I remember that when I did this ritual that he told me to do, and it was very simple, it wasn't even anything major to do, it was just very simple, but I remember it was so powerful. I was literally sitting on the floor. I felt like I had to crawl away. I couldn't move. That's how powerful it was. And when I was finished, I remember just laying on the floor and looking up at the ceiling and thinking, oh my gosh, what just happened? How can that possibly happen? And I remember thinking, this can't happen. This is so simple. Anybody could do this. This can't happen. And I remember thinking that it was so amazing that the experience I had was just so unbelievable. And I thought, but that's what it is. It was something that they did, something, a ritual that was done in the rainforest, that I think put power or added energy to it, is the best way I can say it. And it reminded me a lot of, like, when people pray, or when people, you know, have a certain ritual and they do that all the time and it goes through generations. I sometimes think, and maybe I'm off, but I sometimes think, could it be in our DNA? Could it be a part of us in our, that we don't even realize that we have this in us?
I agree with you. I feel quite certain it is.
Yeah, and that when we touch that point, we experience that little essence of it, it just like blows the door wide open, which brings me back to all of these stories and what all the stories people have out there about, and, you know, something that happened in their life. It basically opened their door, and they might not even realize it opened their door, and all of a sudden they're sitting here now listening going, oh my gosh, I think she's right. I think it opened the door. You know what I mean?
So yeah, and there has never been a culture that we know of, or have any information about, that has ever negated the sacred as Western culture. So
yeah,
we have no idea what can be tapped in us and what DNA can be tapped and opened. We have no idea, because it has been frozen. Talk about your TV freezing.
Yeah.
We have frozen. And
right,
as we begin to open that door, all kinds of things can happen. All kinds of things are potentially waiting in us for
right,
us to be willing to open and to experience it. I love the ancient Egyptian understanding that they had a responsibility to keep the door open to their ancestors. It wasn't ancestor worship, as the Western world has often seen that. It's a realization that the ancestors who have died and gone to the other side are there working with us, still co-creating with us. And now they have the knowledge of spirit that they might have forgotten while they were here. And they are the ones who are co-creating very intimately with us. And if we don't open the door, we stop their creativity too with us.
Right.
So they're part of our DNA too.
Right. And that's true. And I mean, and how many times do you hear somebody say, you know, I really felt like my grandmother was there with me. Or, you know, they were making something. And, you know, like I'll make something and I'll, you know, my famous pies and I'll think, you know, my mom's always with me. She taught me how to do that. And, you know, where did she learn that from her mother? Or, you know, and the thing is I think they are with us. You know, they are with us. And when we get that feel, like, you know, a lot of times when I'm cooking, I'll have that feeling. And I think, gosh, I just feel that energy around me, or I know that, you know, my loved ones are with me, you know, whoever it may be. And sometimes I, you know, I'll just stand there and try to tune in. Do I feel anybody? And sometimes I'll be like, nope, not today. I guess they're off busy doing something. And other days I'll think, you know, I really feel their energy. I really feel that love from them. And there'll be days when I need it. You know, some days that, you know, you have a rough day and you're just like, gosh, I just want you here with me. Could you just be here with me for a little while today? And I'll just go about my, you know, my business of the day. And all of a sudden I'll stop and I'll just have that sense. And I think, thank you, you know, and right away just acknowledging it. Thank you for coming by and just giving me that extra burst I needed to get me through the day, or to give me that extra burst I really wanted. And it's not that, you know, I'm not any specialer than anybody else, or I don't know if that's a word, specialer. I'm not special. You know, that didn't come out right, but you know what I mean. It's like I'm just a normal person, just like everybody else on this planet. We all have that ability of our loved ones coming through, and we all feel it in our own way. It's whether you dream it, or you experience and see something, or you feel it, or you smell it, whatever it may be, you know, we all have something. And, you know,
yes,
I think
they work on many, many levels. We need that personal touch that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also often don't even know that they are involved in huge issues around our lives, you know, that they are working with other people as well as with us on huge issues that we wouldn't even think that they'd be involved in, you know.
Right, right. That's true.
Janet, I have a question for you. You were talking about reading. What I would like to know more about your work, actually. How and what capacity do you do the readings, or tell me a little bit about that.
Well, mainly it's, you know, everybody has their own system. Every, you know, medium reads their own way, and I have always liked to write my information down before I do a reading. It's just something, I don't know why it started that way, but it just started that way. And, you know, there's so many mediums out there, boy, they just snap right in and boom, 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 they go to this person, that person, and or they work with their client. And I'm like one of these people that I want to have something down before I even talk to the person. And I basically, you know, ask spirit to give me, you know, I ask for their loved ones to come to me and to, you know, show me what I need to know for them. And I will just sit down and write whatever comes to me. And I usually spend like, you know, a little time, two or three days, sometimes four, depending on what I get. But I just try to write down whatever comes to me, whatever their loved ones want to share. And so it's kind of one of those things that you really, you never know. You know, I always say that when you do a reading, you go in and you're expected to get 100% like on a test, but you didn't get to study. You know, that's kind of in a way what it is, what I always, how I look at it. And I know some people won't look at it like that, but for me, it's like you just totally open and you kind of put yourself aside. And I have this way of, I literally, like, in my mind, lift myself off and move myself to the right and put it down. And then I allow whatever needs to come through to me comes through more pure. And that's just the way I personally work. And then I just start writing down what I get. And I often put somebody in front of me in my mind in a chair, and then I see who comes in around them. And one of the interesting things that I do, because I like to draw and doodle, is I always draw a chair. And you never know what kind of chair somebody's going to sit in until I start drawing it. And it's kind of a funny thing because, you know, sometimes it's a wingback chair, or sometimes it's a lounge chair, or it's a bubble chair. And it's kind of one of those crazy things that I kind of just started it like many, many, many years ago because I would doodle, and I realized I was doing that all the time. And I thought, well, you know, I'm just going to add that because that gives me an insight to someone's personality. And, you know, think about it, you know, what kind of chair do you sit in? And so that was one of the things that started it. And then I would just see who comes in around them. And I think it's interesting in, you know, I feel like anybody could just kind of, well, you know, to a certain level, let me say, that you can sit down and you can just ask your loved ones to come around you. And what do you feel from them? And if you feel a certain thing, well, who do you think that is? And can they give you a sign? And you know, and it sounds easy. It's not really that easy. It takes a lot of focus and practice in a way to allow yourself to be open, because you do have to let go. You have to let go.
I'm not thinking anything about it being easy over here, I can tell you.
Well, I mean, I guess it kind of sounds kind of basic, but it just takes, I think with, you know, and like I said, every medium has their own way. I mean, any Forever Family Foundation medium you talk to, they're going to all come back to you and say it in a different way, and the way that they personally work. And I think that's what makes it really awesome, is that we each have our own style and we each have our own way. And yet spirit can find that way. Spirit can find that. They know how to connect to you, to give you, you know, something. And maybe let's say, you know, somebody might use symbols and somebody doesn't. Well, it could really mean the same thing, but they could come through in a different way for each medium. And that's what's kind of cool, is you never really know what you're going to get. And so I think that's one thing that I always really enjoyed about it, is that I look forward to them coming through to give a message to someone, and who knows what that message is going to be. It could be anything. But they also have to use, like, my own frame of, you know, reference of what, how I've lived and what I know. And they could say something about, you know, a writer or something, and I would have no idea because, you know, I never studied that writer, so I wouldn't even know. So what they're going to do is they're going to take me in a roundabout way to talk about something, you know. And I think it's a really, you know, interesting, it's really interesting the way that they come through, because you have to just understand that, you know, I would say they're people too, you know, they're just, you know, they just transitioned, but they're still people.
Yeah.
So you have to allow them to come through in their personality. And sometimes I get it, and sometimes, you know, you're not always perfect, but, you know, you just do the best you can.
Yeah, that would be hard. Well, where are our callers? Kim?
I don't know. Maybe
they might be
listening.
Waiting for the number again.
Okay, so, let's give them that number again. We need you to call us and tell us your experiences.
That's right, and there may be others who are listening who desperately need the wisdom and experience that you have
that
to tell.
That you have, yeah.
So 888-627-6008 is the number to call to share your story. We have about 10 minutes left of the show, so make it fast.
Yeah, do it now.
Yeah, feel free. You can cut me off. I'm just, you know, rambling on, but I mean, no. I can, you know, share.
Yeah, that's what we do until someone calls in.
That's true.
Yeah, they could stop our rambling by calling, right?
Right. Well, and, you know, I have a story that one of my clients, she said that it was okay that I shared the story. I had always asked her, I never share a client's story. It's all private. But this client, you know, it was a really interesting story. And I'm like, you know, I'd really like to share that sometime. And she goes, yeah, feel free. And what happened was I was working on a reading. And, you know, I have a habit, too. I always say, you know, if you want to move something in my office, feel free. You know, I'm very picky. I like things organized. I want things in their place. And, you know, it's like if I come in and something's moved, I'm going to know it's moved because that's how picky I am. So, you know, I was working on the reading, and I had the reading the next morning. I'm like, you know, if you want to do something, feel free. Let me know. And I went to sleep that night, and I hear this loud, weird noise, and I'm like, something happened in my office. And I thought, okay, well, I'll be curious when I get up. And I got up in the morning, and I'm looking around on my desk. I'm like, oh, everything looks good. And I look over to the side, and I have these three pictures of the eclipse when, you know, a couple years ago or last year or the year before, whenever we had the solar eclipse. And I have these three pictures of the eclipse on my wall, okay, in black and white frames, and our black frames with the white border. And one of the top one had fallen sideways on top of the second one, And I'm looking at it like, how could that not have fallen, because it's crooked. And as I went to move it, it was still on the nail. I have two nails. It was on both nails on each side, but it had fallen. And it was just a really weird situation. I thought, well, that's kind of strange. And I just kind of fixed it, and I'm like, okay, well, you know, if there's an, you know, eclipse, I need to bring that up, because I think that's a sign. And, you know, I talked to the client, and I was telling her the story about, you know, the picture of my eclipse, and how I always say, if you want to move something, feel free. And all of a sudden she's like, oh, my gosh. And I'm like, what? You know? She's like, you couldn't have said anything better. She said, because there was, she had a monument placed somewhere in the city, and on the day of the eclipse, she went to stand next to it. It was in honor of her mother, and she went to stand next to it and watch the eclipse with her mom. And so her mom was coming through and dropped my eclipse picture to let her know that she was there and remind her that, yes, I did see you standing next to the monument in my honor. And I just thought that was a cool story.
That is cool. That really, really is.
I mean, it's stuff like that, you know, and people are like, well, that's a coincidence. And I'm like, well, okay, but yeah, it happened. And it's funny how it happened exactly how with the client who went somewhere to watch the eclipse with her mother who had passed on, and the monument was in honor of her mother, and she was standing next to it. And, you know, and I'm thinking, you know, what are the odds that in my office, you know, that this is there and that happens. And stuff like that happens all the time in the office, which is really kind of funny. And like I said, it's always, I like that because, you know, I always say I'm from the show me state. You have to show me. So, you know, that's just my thing.
All those spirits are in your office doing their work.
But so.
We have to call those meaningful coincidences. And when they're meaningful, then they are related to spirit. I mean, we can no longer call them a coincidence. We can call them a meaningful coincidence. But I love how those spirits are, they're busy in there doing all kinds of things in your office.
Oh, I know.
Right. Well, and it's you know, it's just kind of, I think that it's a good, I like that story for the simple fact it reminds us that our loved ones do see what's going on around us, and they often send, you know, little pay attention notes or little signs along the way, and sometimes it's through someone else. It doesn't have to be, just like, you know, with your son's girlfriend. It came through her, and it came to you, and it came from this other woman, and I think that that's really special as well.
Yes, and I think it's important to know and to think about the fact that sometimes we receive a dream and it just doesn't make sense to us. It doesn't really have the meaning that we can comprehend. And I had experienced many dreams like that in the 2 years before my son's death. And I thought about the correspondence with some parts of his life, but it wasn't actually until he died that I began to see that yes, those were the connections, and that's what that was about. But I think that the dreams sort of imprinted my soul. I didn't understand it with the rational mind, but I think that my soul understood, was reminded of what was going to happen, and that I was prepared, much more prepared for his death, and could deal with it better because I had had so many dreams, one when I was pregnant, starting then, and then intensifying. But I could always look at them in a symbolic way, so I didn't know, and we often don't know whether it's literal or symbolic. But they really prepared me in an incredibly powerful way for the deaths that were to come, not only his death, but my husband's too. So I think that there are so many levels that on which spirit works for our growth and development, and I am so grateful for all of that.
Oh, I'm sure, and I mean, and I think that you did hit a big key, is that it does prepare us. It does open us up. And it, in a way that, like you said, we might not even realize, but it's there. It's already, as you said, imprinted, which I love because that's true. It really does do that. And I think, you know, it's kind of like I felt the same way through my life, is, all these things were happening, and I really, you know, when I was little, nobody said, oh, you know, you're a psychic medium. I mean, I just had all these things happen, and I they just kind of went on, and then I'd live my life, and something else would happen, and it was almost like it was I was starting to notice that there's a little more going on here, and then it would kind of wave, you know, and it would settle back a little bit, and I guess it just kind of was like, okay, you know, we're going to give her a little space and a little time, and then it would happen again. And I think that that is a perfect way, is it just kept imprinting on me a little bit here and a little bit there. And a lot of times, you know, people, you know, you couldn't really say anything to people about what I, you know, what I was experiencing or what was happening. And I would just kind of, you know, it would make me a little afraid, or I'd put it aside and I'd go on with life. And I think that, like you said, it kind of prepared me a little bit more, even though, you know, I still often say that I'm the chicken medium, but I'm not so much anymore to that sense as, I mean, I still jump when, you know, something unusual happens like that, because it surprises me. So it's going to do that. But in the same sense, I think that all of these experiences just, they pile onto the next one, they add onto the next one, and they go, and it makes you understand that, okay, like you said at the beginning, we have a purpose, and we're co-creating, and I have to learn and understand and experience more to bring me to that next step. So, mm-hmm. you know, I guess I'm very fortunate in a lot of ways, because I did find some of that, you know, of where I was supposed to go and where I was headed. But at the same time, mm-hmm. You don't really always understand it, you know?
Yeah, not at the time that it happens. But, you know, I've been very interested for decades, I guess, of crop circles, for example, that the sacred geometry that is present in many of the crop circles. And one writer about them had said that all of these geometric shapes, sacred geometry, which were so important in our ancestors' lives, is that they imprint their sacredness and their depth of meaning on the psyche simply by looking at them or being in those circles. People have the most extraordinary experiences of being in the circles, but it's the sacred geometric shapes themselves that carry a deep message to the soul, which we can't understand with the mind. And I think that that's true of many of our experiences. They're sacred, and they prepare us in ways that we just don't even know about, you know. I mean, with the deaths, I could see gradually, but that was over a 20-year period, you know,
right.
that I had to put the pieces together, but with gratitude to the universe, I must say. And so I think that art, sacred geometric art, can be extremely important and powerful in our evolution, wherever we see it or experience
true.
It.
And when we're open to seeing it.
Yes, true, yes.
Well,
really
it's
true.
Just about time for us to say good evening, goodbye, good morning, whatever time of day it is to you. We'd like to thank you for joining us on Signs of Life Radio, and hope you will join us again next month on the last Thursday of the month.
And have your experiences ready to tell us.
That's right. And
that's right.
And will you please send us off in a proper format?
Sure. May all beings everywhere with whom we are inseparably interconnected be fulfilled, awakened, liberated, and free. May there be peace in this world and throughout the entire universe. And may we all together complete the spiritual journey.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See you next month.
Sounds good.